This morning I want to start by saying, who remembers the hot weather? Who remembers the hot weather we had in January, February? How did you survive? Did you survive it? Where I was in a concrete jungle. Yes, under concrete jungle. Now, if I was smart and I wanted to open up a business outside of Melbourne on a certain road, I could have made a fortune selling ice creams or lollipops, cold water, drinks, and even second-hand radiators. Hey? What do you say? Second-hand radiators, me, lollipops? He knows what I'm talking about. He's on it straight away. Lollipops, ice creams, drinks, I'd be right. How am I going to bring this into the service today? Have you ever had a midnight experience or a midnight message that's had to wake you up? Well, in certain days, on a certain road called Pentland Hill, yes, you know, a lot of drivers have had a midnight message given to them. The midnight message being that their car didn't make it to the top of the hill because they weren't ready. They weren't ready because they weren't caring enough to check the oil or the coolant or the water in the car before they left Melbourne. For the ones that know the road, from Bagasmas to Balan, it's almost uphill for about 20, 22 kilometres. And on the last 4 or 5 kilometres, it stiffens to a grade of about 1 in 30 or even higher. And on those hot days when it was 43 to 49 degrees Celsius, you could see trucks struggling up there, cars, buses, but a lot of the ones that didn't do their homework on the car before they left home had problems. They didn't make it to the top of the hill. They didn't do their homework. They didn't hear the message, give their car the thought. Now, it's an interesting scenario here that we see that on the way up there, the road in the last 5 or 6 kilometres, correct me if I'm wrong, I think I'm right, rises to a height of about 493 metres from Bagasmas to Balan. That last 5 kilometres or so, it's the killer. And if you went up there, I wasn't there, I was in Melbourne, if you went up there during those 12 or 13 days when the temperature was right up, you would see cars with their bonnets up and they're looking for water. They've had their midnight message. They didn't make it. A midnight message. This is the title that I thought up for today because there is an exact answer to this in the Bible. It's on the board. In the Bible today, there is an exact answer to that when you look at it. Have you ever heard of Sir Francis Chichester? Sir Francis Chichester in 1973 was a sailor, an Englishman, who went around the world sailing a boat around the world in 1973 from England, around the world, back to England. And he was the first man to circumnavigate the world from west to east in the world in 1973. He would have had some experiences out there, I'm sure, if we wanted to look at them. That was one. Does anybody remember Tony Bullimore? You remember Tony Bullimore? The man that was rescued some 5 or 6 thousand miles southwest, yes, southwest of Perth in a boat, in a sailing ship again, that had his midnight hour when his yacht overturned in the middle of the ocean, and he was upturned in the boat for 7 or 8 days, I think it was, 7 or 8 days, and they sent one of the Navy ships down there to rescue him, and they got him, and when they got him on the boat, he was still alive. The boat was upside down in the Southern Ocean for 7 or 8 days, and he activated a beacon, and the beacon was heard, and they sent people down there. But he was living in an air pocket in the boat for 7 or 8 days. He had a midnight experience in his lifetime. At that time. I can remember seeing pictures of him on the television when the boat got there. They wrapped him in a thermal blanket. Silver foil blanket. And he virtually kissed the man that knocked on the hull door because he had to go down under the boat to get him out. Was that a midnight experience? It was for him. Well, guess what? He did it once more. Twice they rescued him further around, if you remember. He was a Welshman. He did it again about 3 years later, or before. He did it before. Twice, the Australians or the New Zealanders or the South Americans would go down sometime. Gunner had to go and rescue him. One man. Did it that way. Severe weather days. What do we think? Can bring grief to us all. Have you had a situation in your life where you've had a midnight message given to you? Maybe your health, maybe something else has gone wrong. I had an experience once in a car. Managed to find the problem before I got too far out. I opened the boot up of the car. Presto, no tire. No spare tire. I had a flat. I had that change. Another experience. Ever had that experience happen to you? I have. Have you had these experiences in life when you think that you are in a situation, say, for example, you are in a restaurant, and people say to you in a restaurant, oh, you say grace in a restaurant. And because you're an Adventist, you cower down and you mumble something, amen, and hope that no one's looking at you. Are you ashamed of your religion? Or are you proud of your religion? You say we don't do it, but yes, we're all sort of guilty of that one. It's interesting to see over the years that we find excuses in our lives to do things. But sometimes we need to be woken up, particularly woken up in a way in which we need a sudden jolt of electricity or voltage of electricity or something like that to bring us to our senses. Some little thing that needs to be brought to our senses. Now, I've prattled on a bit about that now, all about the pocket inside the vessel for 2 days and whatever. I'm sure some of you have had an experience here, and I think I'm right, who have sat at an airport in Sydney or Melbourne or somewhere, and the plane's been cancelled. And you've had to sit there for so many hours, it's not funny. Or the plane's not leaving till tomorrow morning. How do you feel? It's a midnight crisis. What are you going to do? I haven't got anything to read. I'm bored stiff. We're going to sit here. Are they going to pay for our dinner or aren't they? Generally speaking, they won't. Just as we speak today, the world is in a situation. Have you lost something that you can't find? I think of the widow's coin. Today, the world is searching for MH370. It's gone missing. To date, as we speak here, or as of last night, they haven't found it. They've seen objects in the Indian Ocean, some nearly 3,000 miles or kilometres off the coast of Perth, but they don't know. They are rattled. The same happened in 2009 with Air France 447 from Rio de Janeiro to Paris, when it disappeared beneath the waves, 7,000 metres down, twice the depth of the Titanic. They couldn't find it for 2 years. And they finally tracked it with a tracker, and they found it. The more interesting part about that is that at 7,000 metres, there was 229 people on that plane. Of the 229 people, a robot, one of those sea robots, went down and was able to reclaim 149 passengers on that plane. And that was a remarkable thing. A robot picking the dead off the plane from the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, 7,000 metres down. That was on the television last Monday night. It's unreal. That's a midnight message. When I see the midnight message and I think about myself, what have I got? Have I got a midnight message for you today? I certainly have. There is a chapter in the Bible, which is on the board, excuse me, the main verse that I want to pin on is Acts 16 and verse 25. Acts 16, 25. This is my major topic of my verse this morning that I'm going to work for and after it through the chapter. The Bible's my Bible reads this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. A simple enough statement. What was the aspect of this verse in the Bible? Paul and Silas were in prison, singing hymns, praising God, and the other prisoners were listening. Would you be able to do that if you'd been beaten and your hands were in a stocks and you had a messy back and you felt sick? Could you do that in your life? Was that a midnight message? To me, it is. It was a wake-up call. Because you find, as we mentioned this morning, Paul and Silas went to Philippi. They had met this lady called Lydia. Tells us in the Bible. They'd met this lady, Lydia, and they'd gone out there. But if one looks at the verses before it, from verse 16 through to the end, we see there's a story. We see there's a story there that Paul and Silas were out there, and they went down to the river and they were going to pray. But then they were confronted. In the Bible, you can read the story. They were confronted. Paul was confronted by a lady, a girl, who was full of the Spirit. And they must have taunted Paul quite heavily. Because if you look at this, it says, the girls followed Paul, in verse 17, the girls followed Paul and the servants to the Most High God, who were telling the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. He just created a problem. He solved one, but he created another one. Have you ever had that situation in your life when somebody annoys you and they wish they'd go away and they're causing you a problem? Well, the Bible tells us that this girl was causing Paul a bit of trouble. It was worrying him. Does something worry you? Does the flapping of a breeze or a blind in the house or something or possums on the roof worry you of a nighttime? I've got possums around my place that I know about. Does it worry you really? This worried Paul. But look at the actions of what happens after that. This girl was making money for the owners. Making money probably in a big way. What happened then? Out they came, finger pointing, you've stopped my income. You've stopped me from making an income. That's not nice. So, they went to the magistrate, didn't they? They went to the magistrate, it says, when the owners of the slave girl realised that their hopes of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrate and said, "These men are Jews, and by advocating customs unlawful under Romans to accept the practice." The crowd joined in at this time, it says. And of course they were beaten. As they were being beaten, they were sent to jail. Interesting. Sent to jail. Now, if you've had all this happen to you or life or an experience in your life, would you be wanting to sing in the middle of the night? Would you be able to sing in the middle of the night? Least of all, you're singing and praying about Jesus Christ. But look at the miracle that's about to happen. The miracle, the midnight message here is this such that if you look through the next couple of verses, the Lord provided a way out for Paul and Silas. He provided a way out because He supplied an earthquake. An earthquake was sent along, and the earthquake rocked the particular jail they were in, unloosened their chains, and the men were free if they wanted to. Look at the next problem. Here we see Paul and Silas sitting in the jail, all their chains. Now, you wouldn't be worried about where your chains had gone. You'd just know they'd gone. That was it. What are we going to do? In today's society, men in a situation like that, or ladies for that matter, I can think of the one at Silverwater, when they got the helicopter in, they would flee. What happens next? The jailer comes in. The jailer says to the man, "Oh, I better put a sword in myself because by law he's supposed to kill himself because he's let the prisoners go." What does Paul say? "Don't worry, mate," excuse the expression, "we're all here." What a relief. We're all here. Look at it. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, it says, and the prison doors were shaken. At once the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up. When he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." What an experience. Don't forget, this is at midnight, in the middle of a darkened prison. Now, if the earthquake was going to happen, there would have probably been no lights. Darkened prisons weren't exactly the place you want to be at midnight. Something like that. The jailer called for the lights, rushed in and fell trembling, or something lights that were, trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" A simple little thing like that. Look at verse 31. After this, they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. At that hour of the night. Think about that. Just for a moment, just think about it. Then after that, they were immediately baptized. Now in my Bible where this happened, I've got a picture on page 1817. There was a river not far away from this jail, as you know. So at that unearthly hour of the morning, as we call it today, they went down to the river and he baptized them in the middle of the night. Paul and Silas were able to convert the jailer and the family because of his witness. His witness was, verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to the Lord. Just think of it. That's the key of this whole thing. Singing and praying. What would they do? It's interesting, because another problem comes. After they were baptized, then came another problem. Another problem popped up here, which wasn't very, very, very good. When it was day, in verse 35, it reads this. And I want to go back over a couple of things. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jail with the order, "Release those men," the jailer told Paul. Obviously, the story had got back to the magistrate. "Release those men," the magistrate ordered, "that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." Would you go in peace if you'd just been beaten and flogged and all this sort of thing? You'd want to have something to say. Now, Paul got up off his haunches, I suppose, got up and said, look at the next verses. The one word that pops out of that one is good, because it tells me that I'm a Roman citizen. You can't beat me. Hey? You didn't tell us that. You didn't tell us that because you presumed we were Jews following Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel, but you beat us. And you want us to go quietly. Yes, it's in the Bible here. But Paul said to the officers, they beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now they want to get rid of us, quietly, quickly. No, let them come themselves and escort us out. That's what the Bible said. A midnight dilemma. The officers reported this to the magistrate. And when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. Wouldn't you be? You've just hurt somebody that you shouldn't have done. You've done something to somebody that you shouldn't have done to. Now we've come back to the modern day side, and we ask ourselves, how many people have been unjustly accused of doing something in their lives when actually they haven't done it? I think of those people that have committed crimes and all that sort of things, or supposed to have committed crimes, and when they actually go to prison, they found out years later, after some of them have been hung, that they didn't do it. And we can go back through the Australian courts even here today and found that that is actually true. It shouldn't have happened, but it does. It's interesting here in this particular verse that the officer reported this to the magistrate, and when they heard Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. But they came to appease them, it says, and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. Now comes the next little nice little puzzle. Interesting this. After Paul and Silas came out of prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met the brothers and encouraged them. Then it says in the verse 40, they left. Interesting. This lady Lydia, if you go back into your Bible in chapter 16 and come back to the verse 13 to 15, and read this. On Sabbath, we were outside the city's gate to the river, where we were expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak, and a woman who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia. Lydia. Now, she was a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to the members of her household, and she was baptized, and she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded them. After this incident, the midnight message, Paul and Silas went where? In the city of Philippi. They went straight around, it says. Then they left. If you come over the page to chapter 17, when they had passed through Amphius and Apollos, they came to Thessalonica after they left Lydia's house, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue and was there for three Sabbaths. He reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and providing that Jesus Christ had suffered and he also rose from the dead. That's how Paul's mind was. He had an experience in his life. He'd been beaten, he'd been tortured, he'd have everything done with him. And yet he's able to glorify Jesus' name. We have looked through a section of the Bible this morning that was interesting to me to be able to take it on board, because the highlight of this particular chapter was this, for this, about midnight. How many times have we had in our lives something that's happened to us and we are unable to control it? We have problems. Now that is basically the midnight message. But on the board, on the back side of the board, I want to go back and I want to ask you something. We today are shackled. Shackled in such a way that some of us, we don't know. Young people today are shackled to their credit cards. literally shackled to their credit cards with debts. One sees on the television today of $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, $100,000. And they are in a debt situation that they can't get out of. Shackled. Just as Paul and Silas were shackled. Today we might have health problems, be shackled to medical problems in which we are shackled to something for the rest of our life, the way I look, and say, just for example, the way I am. But we have to make the most of what we're given. We are lucky in this world today that we have been given Jesus at Calvary. Jesus at Calvary came to this earth to die and pass away for our sins. But 3 days later he rose up from the dead. He rose from the dead. He gained the victory. That victory is also ours. The victory is there if we want it. It's an interesting passage. I'd like to turn it up. Yes. That right? Oh, it worked. That's good. Thank you. Jesus has the power through prayer to unshackle the chains of burden which is heavy on many hearts in this world today. You may be sick. You may be poor in spirit. You may be sad. You might live on your own. This came to me about 4:30 this morning when I was lying in bed. Now the Lord, the Holy Spirit, was working on me this morning to say these words. Unshackle the chains. If I spelled it wrong, I can't help. Unshackle the chains. Have we got something shackling us to credit cards or debts or something that's worrying us in the world today in which we find ourselves sinking? Our heads just below the water? Are you treading water in such a way that you're just surviving? Because the answer's on that board. Jesus. The answer to prayer. And I put on the bottom, so take it to the Lord in prayer. We have to take it to the Lord in prayer because that's given us an avenue in which we deserve and Jesus requires us to use daily. If we're in trouble, no matter where, we could take it to the Lord in prayer. So many times today we see people that are burdened, worried, and are upset because they don't know where to turn. This morning we have an avenue, or this afternoon now, we have an avenue that we can turn to. We as Adventist Christians, we have Jesus, we have Calvary, we have all those associated things that come from the midnight message. Now there are other passages in the Bible that tells us the thief comes at midnight and all that, but I'm not going to go down that path. I want to say this, the midnight message today. The message today for me, the main text is that verse 25. If we're in trouble, we can sing. Can you be singing in the garden if you're sick or hurting some way? Can you be doing those things? Sometimes I have to lie on the bed of an afternoon because my aches and pains are just too bad. That's the way we are when we get ancient. Sorry. Like me. That's what happens. I can still praise God though. I can still sit here and talk to you on the Sabbath day and present this. I may not be physically able to go and nail this and do that or change a light bulb or do something. But I can do something else for the Lord. Next week, by the way, for those who are preparing the bulletin, I'm taking the lesson, not Tony Bates. That's already organised. I've done that this morning. So it's not Tony next week, it's going to be me. I'm taking it. We are going to be talking about discipleship and the cross. Is the cross a burden for you? It's not for me. Might be a burden for some of us. But just think of all the martyrs that have gone to it, all the martyrs that have taken the cross on the back and have gone to their deaths, natural or otherwise, for Jesus Christ. be talking about that next week a little bit in the Sabbath school class. But I would like to end this service today by saying this. Jesus has the power through Jesus Christ to unshackle all my burdens if I prepare and want to take them to the Lord. Whether in public, at the grace table, or in private, quietly, on your knees. Whether I've got arthritic knees that I can't get down properly or get up, I'll find a way. The Lord can use you and me in a variety of ways that you probably never even thought of. This today is something that I've been preparing for a number of weeks. It's amazing when you are hot, you are thirsty, and you're in town before 7:30 in the morning, because at 7:30 in the morning in the cities, it was 38 degrees at 7:30 in the morning in Melbourne, where I was for at least 5 months, 4 months, something like it. 38 degrees. When I come home over night time, it was 47. Day after day after day after day. How do you cope with that? I could tell you an anecdote to that, but I'm not going to do it. They took the trams off our route, all the air-conditioned ones, and put the trams on the tennis route, didn't they? And gave us all the non-air-conditioned ones. In other words, you were in a sweatbox going home. You know what I'm talking about. In a sweatbox. So the people down the tennis went 12 stops, got off the tram, and went straight into an air-conditioned tennis room. Didn't worry about the people that had to have 2.5 hours in a tram out to Vermont. You can suffer. We provided you with a service. Standing room only, by the way, for 2.5 hours. Yeah. That's life. That was a midnight message to me. The midnight message was, do people care? We care enough at the moment that we are looking for, as Tony said this morning, we are looking out for one another. We have a duty to those who have gone, and I must admit now, they say there's 169 or so Chinese nationals on board. That's what they're saying, 169 Chinese nationals on board on this Malaysian flight, and something like about 8 or 10 Australians, and the rest are crew. The Chinese are coming. I heard that last night on the news. They're sending warships down to help us find this thing off Perth. We have a duty of care. Jesus has a duty of care to us. He wants us in heaven. He doesn't want anyone here to lose out. It's a sad thing. I hope none of you here got relatives. I don't know, but anyway, I'm sorry. If I've said something I offended or anything like that. I didn't mean it. It's an interesting thing that this will take some time to work out. Why this has happened, we'll probably never know. As the experts are now saying, why was it so far off course? A midnight message. We will find out in due course. We have to pray about those, for the people up in China and all over the world who've lost relatives. Here in Australia, there's two families in Brisbane that I'm aware of. Two families in Brisbane. Husband and wife and two families. Brisbane have lost 4 or 5 people in the same thing. It's on the news. It's sad. But is the world a better place? The midnight message. I could have said 5 minutes to midnight, 23:55 hours, because that's even worse. When one thinks about it, we can think about these 23:55 hour people that have done so much to save the world. I think of the Cuban missile thing with John Kennedy back in 1963. Now, he saved the world from a big disaster. People that have been able to see things and stand up for things. Jesus knows the end from the beginning. He knows that. But are we able to see through that, to see what Jesus has got for us? Jesus has something more in store for us, much better, if we are prepared to wait and suffer. It's interesting to know none of us here are are excluded from anything that can go wrong in life. We all get culls, we all have cuts on fingers, we all get paper cuts. We all riddle, some of us are riddled up with this, some of us are riddled up with that, but we learn to put up with it. That's life. Jesus has the power to heal. But above all, through the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to finish up on this, Jesus Christ has given us the chance to seek eternal life through the blood and the bread of Jesus Christ through Calvary, if we so want. What did Paul say? I am the chief sinner. Yes, I'm the chief sinner. Well, I'm still here on this earth, and Jesus part of me as a sinner. Well, that's life. I'll live with that. I can only do what I can do to help out. But I have the knowledge and the knowledge and the help through Jesus Christ in prayer that He can offer me a better life. A better life, eternal life, if I so choose. And next week's lesson is talking about taking up the cross, being a disciple for Christ. We are all disciples of Christ one way or another, in our own way. Back in the 60s in Concord, there were Dorcas ladies that you wouldn't think could do anything. Little did I realise that out the back room there was something going on that I was completely oblivious to. Completely oblivious to it. They were giving out clothes and doing this and going there. They were doing their bit. I've come a long way since then. Paul and Silas have come a long way in this experience that I've portrayed this morning. The midnight message. Could I end it by saying this? Wake up, drowsy Christian, or lose out. Now, I've changed that. I don't want to sound like wake up, drowsy driver and die. But wake up, drowsy Christian. Oh, I can think of another way. Are we spiritually dead? Are we spiritually dead today? Or do we depend on this? We have to depend on the Bible to be able to stand what God is saying. So I end this morning's thought with this. So take it to the Lord in prayer. No matter how simple it might be, or how insignificant you think it might be, the Lord is interested in your problem. Whether I've got a sore thumb, a crook arm, or a leg that's riddled up with arthritis, or the diabetes is right up where it shouldn't be, well it's not, but it should be, take it to the Lord in prayer. He will have an answer. Because He will look after you. An interesting anecdote to that one this morning is this. I've just thought of it. Quite often at home I feed birds. Feathered variety. Bits of bread. And I could start a zoo in the backyard of my place some mornings by half a dozen pieces of bread. The Lord knows the condition of every bird on that ground, where they've come from and what they do. If He knows it about the birds, what does He know about us? Does He know that I've got two less hairs on this side now and one less hair on that side because of an accident a few weeks ago at the barbershop? He knows. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I pray this morning, or this afternoon, I'm sorry, that as I finish now, because my time's well gone, that we can take this on board today, that we have been given a midnight message by Paul and Silas. If they can sing hymns in that condition, in the prison, shackled up, what can you do for the Lord if you're in pain and shackled up? I praise the Lord this morning that I can come into this church and speak about this particular topic this morning. But I am also thankful that in a couple of weeks' time I can go to our little friends up the road here with Paul Glover in the afternoon and see our outreach program and see our programs around this town where we as Christians are shining light in this town. Some people said to me the other day, "Oh, I saw your name in the paper. You're preaching in the church today, are you?" This was yesterday. And the man goes to the Anglican, the church across the road from me. They know. They read the pages in the paper. They know. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that on Sabbath next time, about the discipleship, what we're going to do. I am thankful today that I am a Seventh-day Adventist. Proud of my parents because they stuck with me. I stuck with them. Have you had a midnight experience in your life? I'm sure you can think of something, somewhere, where you have been put in a stressful situation, where your knees fail you, or something like that. I've just thought of another one. I'll tell you the story. I might have told this before. When I was in Sydney years and years ago, I used to have to go across the Manly on the ferry boat. Those that know Sydney will know the trip to Manly and know that the trip to Manly involves going across a section of sea called Sydney Heads. The Manly ferries are only about 900 tonnes, double-decker ferry, 900 tonnes of about 230 foot long, 65 foot wide, and 14 foot draft, twin screws on either end. I went across to Manly on this day, and it was one of the roughest trips I ever had. The boat was like this. Up, down, up, down. That was going across to Manly. I was sick. I had to get back. I stood on that ferry wharf at Manly for about half an hour. No, I'm not going back. I'm not going back on that. I'm not going back. Chicken. Let the boat go. This is one of the old ones, not one of the new ones. The Belubra. And I watched the boat go back because on the way back to Sydney, you've got to face the Great Southern Ocean. You have to face the Great Southern Ocean. In other words, the ferry has to go out from the wharf, head out towards the sea, out to sea, and tag in along South Head to get across the harbour. You understand what I'm talking about? If you went straight across the harbour, you'd sink. When I was standing on the wharf that night, I got home, I'll tell you that in a minute, I saw that ferry disappear 5 or 6 times. Don't forget, this is a double-decker ferry with funnels that are about 18 feet, eight, and hang on, about 15 metres high. Two funnels. Disappear between the waves. Down, you see the ferry come up like that, and go down again like that. Lasted for about 10 minutes. I wasn't on a chicken, mate. How did I get home? That ferry, by the way, made it back to Sydney. But it was the last ferry that went. They shut it off after that. I went home on the bus and the train. I went from Manly up to Chatsworth on the bus and got home on the train. Chicken. My stomach was all right. Many a night there were probably only 2 or 3 people on that ferry. But that's how rough Sydney Harbour can be. Jesus was looking after some people on that ferry that night. On that night, he looked after me, sent me on the long one. That was a midnight. That would have been my midnight crisis. My stomach would have been on the floor in that ferry. I tell you that now. But that's the way life was. That's the way. And that was the days before they had these side things in the ferries where they used to ferry out to come into the wharf and die on the wharf. Bang. That was the way it was. But it's interesting. Problems like that can attract us every day. We don't know what today is going to bring or tomorrow. It can mean anything. But I'm going to finish with this statement. No matter what, take it to the Lord in prayer. I won't go on. I could sit here for an hour and talk on, but I'm not. We all got to go somewhere else. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I hope this morning's presentation has given you an insight to what I've been thinking about during the hot months while I've been away. I haven't been lying back there on the beach, sun and myself. I've been thinking and working and doing things, so I've been right. But I hope to be back a bit more often now, because the family things might settle down. I never know. Thank you very much. our Heavenly Father, with the words of this last verse ringing in our ears, Lord, we go from this place hopefully better served this morning. From the words that have been said here and spoken this morning, I thank you also that the Holy Spirit has been with us here today, that we can be blessed and move forward into a new week from this place today. Lord, I ask a special blessing on those who have prepared lunch today, and I'm sure that we will enjoy what has been prepared, and may we enjoy the Sabbath day to the end even more. And our company, I ask these things in thy name. Amen.